that information. All right, let's see if this pocket microphone works. So what are the key passages we have in the Bible about obedience? Let's see. Let's do a quiz, see who knows. First passage in the Bible that talks about the main one you can think of. There's actually some earlier, but... Before Proverbs. Do you know the reference? The Ten Commandments? Ooh, Bible, Exodus 20. It's okay. It's okay. You girls have been busy this morning. So then we do have many Proverbs. I think most of them fall in chapter 22. But all sprinkled all throughout the Proverbs, it talks about children and obedience. Chapter 3, I believe, among others, talks about listen to your father and mother. Obey the counsel of your parents. How about in the New Testament? What are the main passages? These are the ones we used when we were disciplining our children specifically. That this is not me that's saying you need discipline for this. This is God that says you need this discipline. What are those passages? Colossians 3:20. And Cain, I think you said it. Ephesians 6:1. And following. That's FF, following. Learned that in college. So they talk about, in Exodus, it's repeated in the New Testament. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? We don't usually get a why, but there's a why. For this is right. Honor your father and mother that it may go well with you and you may live long on the earth. Part of that is what we call a truism. Is it true that children that obey are going to live the longest of everyone on earth? No. You could die at 17, but you were really obedient to your parents. So it's a truism that is a gift, a blessing. We also know heaven's great, so why would we want to live on earth too long? But but it is a commandment with a promise. And we know that obedience and calling your children to obedience is the most loving thing that you can do for your children. Discipline is love, it tells us in Hebrews chapter 12. But I also want to read some Proverbs. And you'll have to excuse my translation here. I bought this when we first had Sarah, and I didn't realize it was NIV. So it may not sound just like what you're used to. But listen, like Proverbs 2, my son, accept my words and store up my commands within you. Turn your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Okay, children are called to listen. 4:1-5, listen, my son, to a father's instruction. Pay attention to gain understanding. I give you sound learning. So children are commanded to obey, and then the wisdom principle of it will go well with you is fleshed out in the Proverbs. Let's see, there were some more here. Proverbs 10:17, he who heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. So there's another reason why your kids need to obey, because they are an example to others. Proverbs 5, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. 6:20, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you wake, they will speak to you. For these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. And the corrections of discipline are the way to life. That's actually my favorite passage that I have used with my children. I am giving you instruction that you need to obey. And when you do that, it's like a beautiful necklace around your neck. That's Proverbs 6:20-23. But it's interesting too, at least in this translation, it points out that the parents' commands, which if they're from God indeed, are like a lamp and a light. Sounds like another psalm we know, Psalm 119, 105. So there is a lot of richness in Proverbs. But ladies, you're not going to have those words of wisdom that you're supposed to be teaching your kids if you're not in the Word of God, which you know, that we're really hitting on this year in all things. You have to be reading this to have the wisdom to give your children. But books like these will help you. So I would have this book so handy when my kids were little, and I'd be like, oh my goodness, they are just really struggling with being hasty. What does the Bible say with them being so fast and sloppy? And I would look up the Proverbs. Now this is only Proverbs. There's lots more in the Bible, but the Proverbs is the wisdom literature for your family and the practical workings of how to, what to teach them. And you need to be thinking proactively. In everything I do, I am teaching my children. And so calling them to obey is the command God gives you and the command to your children. When you look at your child, you should say, what's the number one thing God wants for my child? Well, he does want them to be saved and to glorify him, but also his number one command. There's one right here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. So we need to understand that their obedience is helping them to be godly when we call them to obey. Okay. So I want you to picture your child, and this is adapted from the wonderful Tripp men who write on parenting. But this is what we call the circle of safety. Here's your child. Yours look a lot better than this, by the way. Your child is called to obey and to honor. So we have the action of obedience and we have the attitude of obedience here. When you honor someone, you are showing them an attitude of respect. Your child is called to respect you as if you are in the place of God. That's why you need to act holy. You don't want them following your hypocrisy, although we all do it. But you want them to have the action of obedience and the attitude of obedience. And then the Bible promises that it will go well. Remember, this is the only commandment with a promise. And they will live long. Once again, this is a truism. It's a truism that it will go well. When you are struggling with trials of your life, are you thinking, gosh, I was obedient to my parents. Why isn't it going well for me? But the truth is that trials actually are our life going well. It's a proof that the Father loves us and he's disciplining us, teaching us. He is preparing our hearts through the refining fire to be more and more godly. And so your child needs to stay inside this circle. When they obey and they honor, they stay inside the circle. But if they go out and they disobey you, they're now outside the circle of obedience. They're outside the circle of safety, and they are now in their disobedience. It will not go well with them. And those are literally the words I would say to my children at times. If you choose to keep acting like this, it is not going to go well with you. So use the biblical terminology. You probably don't need to discuss the living long with them, but definitely go with, it's not going to go well with you, or it is going to go well with you. So in as far as obedience, there was a long time where I told my kids they needed to obey. It was right away. Obedience is right away. So immediately. Without excuse. Without delay. Without delay, without excuse, and now I'm forgetting the third one. I'll have to look it up here. That's the one. That's the one that Mark and I have had a struggle with. Having a happy heart. Did that backwards. There is a point where your child needs to move to obey whether they feel like it or not. Think about your Christian walk. Do you obey everything God says with a happy heart? No. So somewhere along the way, this one kind of got thrown in there. And there is a measure of it that's true. But it's not always going to be true. And if you're going to camp on anything, don't camp on this one. You want to see their feet moving to obey. And the attitude, Lord willing, will follow. I was stuck on this one for so long. Change your face. Your face tells me that you do not want to obey. What is going on? You know, so it's not the one to camp on. Let me see if I can find this. Does anyone remember what the third one is? Without challenge, I think it is. Maybe I just remembered.
I have right away, all the way.
All the way. That's completely. So, you have that written somewhere?
No.
Oh, you have it stuck in your head.
I remember Meg saying it.
Yeah. So, I got stuck on this one, and I realized it's not actually in Shepherding a Child's Heart. Shepherding a Child's Heart does not say with the happy heart. That was a different line along the way. So one of the ways, though, that you will be able to tell exactly where your child is and their obedience is by calling them to give a response. And I can't underestimate, or I can't, that's not the word. Sorry, talking off my head this morning. I can't downplay, upplay, whatever it is, how important this is, that your child learn to give a response and that you expect it. Here is the response. So every time you tell your child what to do, once they're able to talk, you start training them to say, yes, mom. Or if you prefer, yes, ma'am, you may do that. In our home, we did yes, mom, yes, dad, yes, Aunt Amy, yes, grandma. And I'm gonna go into that one in a minute. Or yes, teacher. They don't always know their kids, their teachers' names. It's funny. But
how I'm started. I'm trying want to train him now, but he get used to this non-response, so.
Yeah, the little guys usually go, ha ha. You can tell they're trying to repeat your sounds. Yeah, ha. Yes, mom. Yep. I was reading yesterday, I think it was in this book. I'll show you. Okay, this book will beat you all up, ladies. Even if you think you're doing well, this book will beat you up. It's called Child Training Tips, What I Wish I Knew When My Children Were Young. And I just see it on the shelf and I'm like, ha ha, I'm failing. So, in this book, they say you can test your child. If you bring out a candy and they understand what that means and they respond for it, then they understand. There's a story of I don't remember if it was him or someone else, hid a cookie under a pillow as a game for a nine-month-old. Nine-month-old, the next time they came over, however long, a couple days, one day, a week, came back, went right for the pillow, remembered where that treat was. So you can test your kids. You can see if they understand. But again, moms, when you start requiring these things, love. Love is how we are to train our kids. So you need to be patient and kind. In the action, say with Davey, who's little, he's not going to remember to say yes, mom, every time. Three-year-olds don't remember to say yes, mom, every time. 12-year-olds don't remember to say yes, mom, every time. You're not going to spank for that every time. You're going to say, yes, mom? Oh, yes, mom. You know, you have to give a little verbal reminder. But definitely, when you require a response, you are getting you're hearing that they heard you. So every single time you give a command, you know they heard you because they say, yes, mom. And then if they don't disobey, if they do disobey, there's no excuse for them not doing it because they said that they heard you by saying, yes, mom. The other thing is, back to that attitude I was talking about, how they say yes, mom tells you exactly where they're at. Yes, mom! I get that one, you know? So you're like, oh, okay, so we're gonna watch how he goes about performing this task that I've given him, because I can tell right now his attitude stinks by the way he's saying yes, mom. Any questions about that, Steph?
How I started. I tried to ask him to talk to me. Now I think he is able to talk the sounds, but if he chooses to talk the sounds he likes, like a blueberry.
Uh-huh.
I would just say blueberries all the time.
So really you're training him to only respond for blueberries, right?
No, because I won't. Every time I would tell him what it is, so he will remember that. He will copy the words that he likes, like car, that's the first word, car.
Yeah. Well, your son is the perfect age. Let me see. Naya's a little smaller, but Your son is the age where you need to get his attention. So you get in his, yes, mommy, you know.
I do that too. His nose is not like a, he tried to look away.
Isn't it amazing? Good girl. Isn't it amazing how soon they show their sinfulness? Oh, sorry. So you need to persevere. It's a training process. And, you know that he's capable of doing it in other situations, then say you're across the room, say, I want you to go put your toys away. And so he starts moving, but you say, yes, mom. And he's like, I don't want to answer you. So then you walk over, you would say, yes, mommy, and just start training him to say it every time.
Okay.
And just do training at his age, especially, he's under two. You know, do it as much as you can for a while, just the practice, the training, before you really start disciplining for it. So have some successes before you start disciplining for it, I would suggest. For now, for his age. Obviously an older child, they can talk, they can communicate and all that. So if you haven't been doing this, you know, once again, start it with love, and which is patience and kindness. And then, you know, you and your husband need to gauge when you're like, they fully know and they're turning their head away or whatever it is.
So. And just like when you were just saying that earlier, when you're giving the example of the baby, or, you know, like how you can tell they're trying to say something, you can tell that they get really excited or they try to do that, and then you kind of affirm them in that, like where they say something and it's like,
He's motivated by your praise.
Yeah. I'm trying to get him to say please for different things. It doesn't sound anything like please, but I know he's trying to do it. So I'm just like, good.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Excited for him to be doing that. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We don't want to underestimate what being your child's cheerleader does, and to diffuse every situation from being a spanking situation. So, you know, what you can do in giving grace, but also not, you're not like giving them grace by treating them like a 12-year-old. You're giving them grace by keeping them at their age, their boundaries. I've said it before, but I'll repeat. Every child should have their fences around them. This, you know, so picture you're the house and there's a fence that goes around the backyard. And your children will test those fences looking for the weak spot, just like an animal, you know. They'll be looking for the, but they need to know that fence is there. It's not that they need to get out. It's that they need to know the fence is there. They're like, okay, mommy said I'm not allowed to do this. When I don't do it, I get in trouble. That is safety for a child. It's a circle of safety. When children know where you're gonna hold the line, that is comforting to them. When they know you're gonna discipline them consistently, comforting. And when you only open it up as they show that they're capable and they're mature enough, and then you give them the privileges and responsibilities as they get older, it will go so much more smoothly for you. And that's one of the key things too to remember, is starting early with obedience helps you from having to backpedal and go backwards. You know, God can redeem that at any point. You know, he can convict us of where we have gone wrong. But the sooner you start, you know, earlier and consistent, the better it will go for you. And I want us to read, I'll just read it to you. J.C. Ryle talks about training your children in a habit of obedience. And this whole little chapter is like 4 pages, so super easy to do in a one sit down. This is an object which is worth any labor to attain. No habit, I suspect, has such an influence over our lives as this. Parents, determine to make your children obey you, though it may cost you much trouble and cost them many tears. Get that in your head. It's hard work to train kids. The parents that ignore their children, that's easy, but leads to death. So it will cost you trouble and them tears. Let there be no questioning and reasoning and disputing and delaying and answering again or talking back. When you give them a command, let them see plainly that you will have it done. So mean what you say, mamas. Obedience is the only reality. It is faith visible, faith acting, and faith incarnate. It is the test of real discipleship among the Lord's people. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you, John 15:14 says. It ought to be the mark of well-trained children that they do whatsoever their parents command them. Where indeed is the honor which the fifth commandment enjoins? If fathers and mothers are not obeyed cheerfully, willingly, and at once. So he does bring in the cheerfully. So, but you're guarding their attitudes. Early obedience has all scripture on its side. So here's the early obedience. It is in Abraham's praise, not merely he will train his family, but he will command his children and his household after him. Genesis 18:19. It is said of the Lord Jesus Christ himself that when he was young, he was subject to Mary and Joseph. Luke 2:51. Observe how implicitly Joseph obeyed the order of his father Jacob in Genesis 37. See how Isaiah speaks of it as an evil thing. When the children shall behave himself proudly against the ancients. Isaiah 3:5. Mark how the Apostle Paul names obedience to parents as one of the disobedience to parents as one of the bad signs of the latter days. Remember, we read that on Saturday. They will be disobedient to parents, 2 Timothy 3:2. Mark how he singles out this grace of requiring obedience as one that should adorn a Christian minister. Notice he said, singles out this grace. It is a grace to your children to call them to obedience. 1 Timothy 3:4 and 12 says, one that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all sobriety. And again, let the deacons rule their children and their own houses well. And again, an elder must be one having faithful children, not accused of riot or being unruly. Titus 1:6. So if the leadership of your church is called to keep their parents in order, don't you really think that means everybody? It shouldn't just be the parents who are in authority. Parents, do you wish to see your parents, your children happy? We do. We want them to be happy. Take care then that you train them to obey when they are spoken to do as they are bid. Believe me, we are not made for entire independence. We are not fit for it. Even Christ's freemen have a yoke to wear because, ladies, we serve the Lord Christ, Colossians 3:24. Children cannot learn too soon that this is a world in which we are not all intended to rule, that we are never in our right place until we know how to obey our betters. Teach them to obey while young, or else they will be fretting against God all their lives long and wear themselves out with the vain idea that they are independent of God's control. Reader, this hint is only too much needed. You will see many in this day. This is 100 years ago. 200 years ago? You will see many in this day who allow their children to choose and think for themselves long before they are able, and even make excuses for their children's disobedience as if it were a thing not to be blamed. To my eyes, a parent always yielding and a child always having its own way are a most painful sight. You've seen this or lived it. Painful because I see God's appointed order of things inverted and turned upside down. Painful because I feel sure the consequence to that child's character in the end will be self-will, pride, and self-conceit. You must not wonder then that men refuse to obey their Father which is in heaven if you allow them, when they are children, to disobey their Father who is upon the earth. Parents, if you love your children, let obedience be a motto and a watchword continually before their eyes. We can just pray and be done right there, right? Any thoughts? That's our high calling. We don't tell our kids to obey just to make life easier that we have obedient children. We teach them to obey because their lifelong they will be under authority. and they need to respect, they need to learn how to obey God when we are no longer with them up here. And even before here, you know, my children that are teenagers, I want to see them responding to God on their own before they leave my nest. I want to know it's not just going to be cut off the day that they leave our home. So we've talked about the blessing and the consequence of disobeying. The guidelines we use for obeying, they need to, obedience is done right away without excuse and without challenge. It's doing everything you said when you said to do it. There's a phrase, delayed disobedience is disobedience. Doing it later is not obeying. Making excuses, talking back. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself in this discussion with my child. I'm like, oh my word, how did I get here? Why am I having this discussion with them? I was supposed to say, go do it. And there are occasions when there's a why. There's an occasion where later I will tell them why. And there are occasions where they'll never know. They just need to do it. In fact, Lizzie and I just had a discussion this week after hearing Angie's testimony. She heard what had happened to Angie when she was young. She said, oh, now I understand why you told me not to stay alone at a home where the mom wasn't there. I understand why, you know. So she obeyed, but I wasn't going to tell her why at that point necessarily. So, but we need to have from that book a mindset, parents are in charge. That is the authority structure that God laid out. So we have God is the head of all. And then the way that the Lord made it to all flow, the father is the head of the home and he is above the mother, but often they work together in that mutual subjection to one another. The dad is gone most of the time, ladies. You know, it is mostly you doing a lot of the discipline, but keep in that communication with your husband about what's going on so that he can give you wisdom for how to make your days run smoother. Sometimes I'd be beating my head against the wall for a week. And I, you know, I would be talking to him about it and he would have the answer like that. And I was like, oh, what have I been doing? So, let me see. One helpful practical tip is to plan a training time into your day every day. This is not when you have to be obeyed, but an open time frame if you are scheduling your day where that's training time. And they know, okay guys, it's training time. And like for you, you have a whole bunch of kids, you can gather them all together, you can do it one-on-one when kids are napping and you have just that one. And you would be it'd be a much more rah-rah cheerleader kind of time where you would be teaching them either how to do a chore, how to go in and out of the house without slamming the door, just the different things you notice they need to work on. Maybe you're teaching them how to unbuckle and buckle themselves in the car seat, because there comes a point where they can do that and you don't need to waste your time doing that. It's under your pay grade at that point. But it is, I like that the Duggars explain this somewhere in some of their stuff, but they talk about doing the come to mommy, come to daddy, and it's the come to mommy game. And it's like, okay, it's training time, we're doing the come to mommy game, and they have their candies or their blueberries or whatever during that fun time. And they say, okay, go to the playroom and I'm gonna call you and you're gonna come. And I'm gonna be so proud of you and I'm gonna give you this. And so it's part of a game, but it trains them to listen so that when you're out at the street and their very lives are in danger, they don't turn around to say why. They come because they're trained to come. And you do have to be very careful with the reward system. Like we were talking about, if you always reward, then if you're not offering a word, they may not come. So you have to guard that. But when they're little, those things are very helpful. Just like when you're potty training and you give rewards for learning the skill. You're teaching a skill of being quick to come with their little legs. And so you can offer a reward during that time. Any questions about that? Any of that stuff?
I know it sounds so easy, but I feel like, where to start? Like, I try to tell him come. I spank him almost 3-4 times a day.
Uh-huh.
And he hear you, but he is right on his little police car. And he come to you, then he's like, oh, I want to decide to go the different way. And he will come to me.
Okay, I just remembered what you need to do. So you are training him to come. And at that age, I remember this being especially hard with my oldest. She just would not come.
Uh-huh.
And so you do the chin, and then if they still won't come, you help them to come. You go and you take their hand, you get him off the car. Mommy said come, you need to come, and you walk him through obedience. So the physical action of walking him through so that he's practicing, even though it wasn't of his own motivation, he still did it as you helped him. That's really the more gracious, patient way while he's still young. To be obviously you wouldn't do that with a 12-year-old, you know. So, but that's what you do with a one, two-year-old.
Yeah. Wait. So my question is: so if during this process, if he acting like he start like upset and obviously like wants to disobey, should I stand here at this time?
So say you go to walk him to obey and he's crying.
Yeah, he's like ah, 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 it's like going like that.
You can go either way. I think sometimes with our firstborn, we always go to spank. It's just what we do. And then as we have more kids, we're like, do I really need to spank over this? Or is there an opportunity to just walk him through it despite his feelings, despite his reaction? I just need to teach him to come for a couple weeks. And then once you have the success, and then he has the attitude, then you can start disciplining the attitude. No, you're supposed to come without complaining. You know, you're supposed to come with an attitude to obey. So, you know, work on one thing at a time. Right now, you need to get him to literally come when you say come, for his own safety and for obedience. And then once he has success in that area and he has, I don't want to, you know, that kind of attitude, then you can, I would start doing that. Does anyone disagree with that? Lisa?
No, I don't disagree with that. I was just going to say, like, I know Davey's a little bit older than Austin. So here's, like, an example of something that happens. This happens a lot. But so he started getting, like, little spanks. And obviously it's different than, you know, you work up into, like, a full-on spank on their butt. But he's old enough where he knows exactly what he's doing. So a lot of times, like, after we've been somewhere or something, like, I'll take his shoes off and then I'll say, okay, go take her shoes to the shoe basket and put them in there. I just give one direction. He's done it, like, 500 times. He knows how to do it. And then sometimes if he doesn't want to do that, he'll get angry and he throws the shoes. And you can see it. It's not like a question mark. He's obviously angry. He's throwing his shoes.
He's rebelling. Over. Yeah.
So he's getting a reminder at that point where I'm giving him a little spank on his bottom with the spanky stick. He just started getting that like 2 months ago, I think. But then the one really important thing is to follow up and not just spank and be like, all right, I'm sending you on your way. It's like you have to persevere through giving you the spank and then I'm giving you another opportunity to obey. So I'm requiring you to go back, pick up the shoes that you threw and go put them in the shoe basket. So that's all the steps, like you were just saying, it sounds easy. When she was talking, I was like, it doesn't sound easy. It's horribly hard because those are such time-consuming steps. But that is the way where you're giving them an opportunity. You're not just, there's a reconciling moment in that where you're thanking them and then you're kind of giving them like a hug or something and then you're saying, okay, now you're giving them a chance to obey. Not ending on this thing, ending on, here's grace, here's another opportunity to obey me.
Yeah, and take him back. You would take him back to pick up the shoes and put them in there. And you might have to use their chubby little hands and actually do it. That reminds me, there's three main reasons that you should spank. One is for rebellion, not doing what you say to do, like literally turning away and rebelling from what you've said to do. Rebellious attitude, no, I won't. I'm sorry, you do not say no to mommy. That was a rebellious attitude or action. Disrespect to authority. They should not be calling you names, ever. They should not be disrespectful to you. So here we have disrespect is the honor, rebellion is the lack of obedience. The third one that we always spank for is safety. And we didn't give little reminders about this. I was standing at my front window at our house in Jupiter. It had a steep driveway and a busy street. I watched my child go down with the scooter, not look both ways, and cross the street over to the neighbor's yard. So I went outside, I said, come on in, and they didn't, like I was real nice about it, come on in, I need to talk to you. No, you're getting a spanking. There was no warning, it was immediate, because they could have died. So safety is something you might need to spank for immediately. They ran out around the car when you were at church, when you said, stand here and put your hand on the car while I get someone else buckled. It's another good helpful thing. Put your hand on the car. They ran around the back of the car. Okay, that was safety and rebellion at the same time. So,
hand. I'm gonna say, Scotty's now doing this where he thinks it's funny to run into the bushes and right open the door.
Uh-huh.
And he walks on the sidewalk with me, and I like, hold my hand and walk on the sidewalk. And he's recently discovered that the cars are parked, fairly parked, and he thinks we're going on a car ride, but we're not.
Uh-huh.
And I'll say, no, no, no. And I try to run him back, but then he runs towards the car. I don't know if he's intentionally doing it. I mean, I guess he would be.
Johnny is very little, yeah. For one. He's not even quite one and a half yet.
Yeah.
And so you're giving him too much freedom that he even has opportunity to run away from you just yet. I also, this is why I work in the nursery, I also know about Johnny,
yes.
That he is extremely curious. He's probably going to be taking apart computers, you know, when he's five. From all that I can tell, he's a little engineer. And so you're going to need to keep this very tight with him. You keep it very tight. He does not ever run away from your hand. You don't let him walk in the grocery store ever. I can't tell you how many things Sarah dropped on the ground that cost the store money. So you know, he is always within some form of being held because except in the home where he has freedom in the home, but everywhere else you need to control him because he's just too little to know what's wise.
Yeah.
And even when you open the front door, you have a hand on him or you have what we call the monkey buddy, which is the leash with the backpack that he can't get off. Don't underestimate how good those things are.
I always see what's there. I'm like, I've never seen that to my child. I just ordered one on Amazon.
Yeah, it's not cruelty. It's wisdom that your child not die. So we got ours when we had child number two, and I was like losing track of child number one. My mind didn't go around the group thing right away. And so we had her on a leash, and that was for safety, and it kept her inside the cone, you know. Or in the grocery store, you have them in the stroller, they're screaming to get out. What do they do when they get out? They make things worse, they touch everything. You keep them chained up as long as you can.
Even at this stage, they're trained to leave the shop. You know, I let them out occasionally, but it's bad when
you give an inch? Oh, they ask every time for 3 months, once you've let them out once.
Yeah.
So you end up paying.
It's great.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, and there was a time where I had like four small children all at once and I had to get the baby out. And so, like I was saying with the car, their hand, get out of the car, hands on the car, wait till I come around. And if they didn't, oh man, get your hand back on the car. I see you moving an inch, you know. I was very, you are in charge, mamas. You've got to act like it. So I see, now maybe you all are, but when you look around our society, and even Ryle was saying in the 1800s, parents were being permissive. So it is godly to live up to the role that God has given you. And as he also said, that is teaching your children life. It is faith lived out that your children obey, because they're going to have to obey God. They have to obey the government. They have to obey the street rules. You know, life is never really independent. And so it's really your house. You have 18 years to train them and prepare them to go out and to shoot them out like arrows, the Bible says, ready for the world. And it's a hard job, especially the more you have. It's a really big job. And so the more you can be running your home as a good drill sergeant, so to speak, with all love, patience, kindness, not remembering their wrongs against them, hoping all things, enduring all things, believing all things, never failing, then it will go so much better for you in the long run. And when you see parents that have kids that are obedient, they worked hard right here. Know that that doesn't ever really just happen. There's a couple kids in the world who are really compliant, but inside usually their hearts are pretty ugly because they are self-righteous. So watch out for that. Children that constantly disobey you are actually better. They're better for you because you always know right what they're thinking. Their sin is right there in front of you. The ones who are very outwardly compliant, like I was as a child, there's often a lot of ugliness on the inside. So it's either on the inside or the outside. And my uncle Jerry always said, it's better to have the kids that are outwardly disobedient, even though they wear you out. But But you always know where they are. Always know what's going on. Even Meg says, Caleb, first grade, even though he will often get a spanking for what he did at school, he comes home and he tells her all the stuff that he did. And she's like, oh my word. And so she has to walk through that, talk through a lot of it so that he doesn't stop sharing, you know, but also discipline the things that need discipline. So it takes a lot of wisdom, ladies, to do all this. But God. But that's why you're reading through the Bible. Because that has the answers for you. That's on that note. So here's book number one. You need to be reading this. But ladies, your job is parenting, which means there should never be a day where you are not reading a parenting book. Let me just say it. You need to be reading one every day. So you could read this Duties of Parents a couple pages every day, and I think you will be convicted every single day. And then when I was reading the Bitterness book for Bible study tomorrow night, oh my goodness, if we were busy doing this Appendix C about love, how to live out love, we would also keep ourselves from being battle weary, which is what else is discussed in here. If we are so focused on blessing our children, doing the love of disciplining them, then we would be less battle weary. Not to say days aren't going to be wearying, they are. But you know what? Your husband has weary days at work too. It's just life. It's life in this sinful world. So keep persevering, keep encouraging one another, keep going back to the Word. After those, you know, the Bible, Proverbs, which is just Bible. This is the number one book we recommend you read. Raise your hand if you've read it. Two of you. Oh. Okay, ladies, the cover does not look like this anymore. This was baby Sarah cover. You must read this book. I read it, and then I started living life and parenting, and I just reread part of it last year, the part on teenagers, and I was like, oh my word, why did I not read this all the time? I would have learned things the easier way than the hard way, which is how I learned it. So, you must read Shepherding a Child's Heart. This is the theology of parenting, which this is in, and many other good charts. When you're done with that, this book follows, Instructing a Child's Heart. This book I only read like 2 years ago, and I was like, I am 4 years late reading this book. This is so good. Teaching your children about the sowing and reaping principle. Teaching them about wisdom and foolishness. I mean, I started drawing charts on the wall for my kids while I was reading this book. That's how practical it was. We started studying sowing and reaping. This talks about authority and teaching your children about that. What does it mean to teach your child? And what does discipline look like? And connecting the sowing and reaping to your discipline. This is what you chose to do. All right, you can't do that with Davy's age. But as they get older, you chose in your anger to punch a hole in the wall. You are now reaping the consequences of that. You have to pay for the repair, you get the spank, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's helpful for you to speak the right language. Then also, Lou Priolo, teach them diligently. This is how to use the scriptures in child training. So here you have the scripture you're reading, but when do I apply it? How do I get all that to stick in my tired head? So if you're just reading a little book of a parenting, a little bit of a parenting book all the time, you should do better than I. another good book I recommend, Don't Make Me Count to Three. There are a lot of unbiblical parenting methods out there, one of which is counting. Does anyone know why? It's not first time obedience. It's once mom gets to three or once mom gets angry, then I obey. Why not just teach them to obey the first time? It's really the same thing. You've just wasted time and taught them to wait to obey. So I highly recommend Don't Make Me Count to Three. It talks a lot about how to use the rod properly. So what does a discipline session look like? And we should probably put in an order for good rods here soon too with all of you. It's a very secret place that we order the good ones from.
It comes in a brown paper, non-discreet.
Right, there's no address, it's just an anonymous email. But they're made out of conveyor belt type material. I should have brought one to show you. Maybe next time. They have two sizes. My little one's got the little one. My big ones, they need the bigger one. But they're like $10 each, so we would want to put in a group order. Another good book I recommend, the one I told you would kill you just seeing it on your shelf once you glanced at it, is Child Training Tips. The number one thing that I walk away from this book with is my tone of voice. That is the chapter that slayed me when I read this book. We tend to scold. We might threaten. We speak with passion when passion is not what God calls us to. We should be able to correct our children with an even tone of voice. And I also liked, he talked in here about what a child run home looks like, what an intimidating parent looks like. I mean, he really goes through everything. He talks about giving the response, yes, mom, yes, dad. What incorrect discipline looks like, what it means to nurture your children through discipline, what to do when the spankings aren't working, all been there, how to raise responsible children, and I think it was him that said there's three main things you're training your children in: wisdom, self-control, and responsibility. And we had a whole class last summer on self-control training. Who was here for that? Does anyone remember self-control training? Okay, so only Susie. That's why we're going back to these basic things for you. I really don't think you ladies need to be working on hospitality right now. We need to be working on these nuts and bolts. So we'll just write a blog post or something on hospitality or teach it this summer. But these are the nuts and bolts. We need to be teaching our children wisdom versus foolishness. And I will use those words with my kids. You are making a foolish choice. You are on a road that leads to destruction, the Proverbs tells us. If you choose God's way, it is a harder path, but it leads to eternal life. So you get this wording. And then we're teaching self-control. And we might need to talk about the self-control training again. It's also going to be in our workbook that we're making of all this information that we've been accumulating through the last year. Here is a whole Bible study from Doorpost called Child Training Boot Camp. This might be something you want to do. It walks you through Blue Letter Bible and how to dig into the scripture behind the child training stuff. So she literally says, go to this verse, click on this extra thing. Like if you're really into that kind of study, this is a really fun book for that. And it goes through a lot on obedience. Discipline, hearing and obeying, speech, whining, quarreling, forgiveness, etc. And this is supposed to be a 30-day Bible study it's written for young moms that are momming. And then, you know, I love these little booklets. I just got this one in the mail this last week because I wanted to see what in the world do they have in this little tiny book on motherhood. Hope for discouraged moms, it says. So I do not believe this one is on Amazon, but I'll read through it. And then if you're dying to see what it says, then I'm happy to lend it out. But it talks about dealing with your failures and how you appropriate that in your heart, how you deal with your child's failures, how to view your mothering as the trials of life. Okay, this is the refining fire. Raising your children is a hard work. We try not to talk about that too much before you all have kids. because we don't want you to not sign up for the most sanctifying work on the planet, which is being a mom. So.
I just have a question. Okay, so when you're in regards to like your response to your kids, I know sometimes I have a struggle with that where I'm like, okay, I'm saying what I'm supposed to be saying, and it's the tone of voice where I'm just kind of barking out orders. And then when I reflect on it and talk through it with Eric, he'll say, you know, you can't wonder why our kids have these emotional responses to you because you're raising it up to that level where you're getting emotional with them. So that's something that I really struggle with, and I'm trying to develop more self-control in that area. But in this scenario, if you're spanking them and it's getting, if you spank them for disobedience or rebellion, and then you realize, okay, this isn't going to be like a quick fix, it's going to be like a process, but then you find yourself getting kind of angry in the process. So what kind of practical things have you said to yourself? Obviously prayer, but just like verses that are helpful in that.
Well, I think the number one thing that helps me with that is Mark drew a line for our family. And seeing my emotional responses and theirs, ladies, we get lost in the forest for the trees. And our husbands are like up above in a little watchtower going, no, turn left, because they're like outside of the emotion of it, which sometimes my flesh railed against, like, you just don't understand. You're not here all day. You don't deal with this all day. Well, that's a fleshly response. But he's like kind of over like, honey, turn left, you know, and he was able to help me. So we would have, I would take the child in for the rebellion, and they would be screaming bloody murder. So then they'd get the spanking for the rebellion, and we deal with that. Then they'd get another spanking for the screaming, and we deal with that. Then they were still rebellious, and we had a 3-spank limit in our house, because by then, I was angry. How dare you not obey me? You know, how dare you keep doing this? You know, was my fleshly response. So it helped so much to say, you know what, I've spanked them 3 times. If I continue, 2 things, I'm gonna sin or I'm gonna break the law because they're gonna be really bruised. So we had a 3-spank limit for an issue. At that point, if they were still screaming at me, still rebellious, they went to their beds and they had better knock it off. And that way we separated, the situation diffused. We do this in our marriage sometimes where we just cannot come to a resolution. You know what, we need to part just by walking away and praying. Why am I making such a big deal out of this? You just gotta get yourself out of the situation. Get yourself, stop talking at your kid and walk away and deal with your heart. Let them calm down. I just realized they have the same nursing cover. And diffuse the situation. And then, my husband is also not against a stern voice. You are still the drill sergeant. You don't want to sound like one all the time because you're also nurturing mommy. But there, get your shoes and get in the car right now. You know, there is a sternness. I'm not saying don't use that. And my husband will use a very stern voice with the kids where I'm like, yes, sir, you know. And that does not hurt. It's your attitude behind the words and the tone of voice. So then definitely the verse that will get you every time is Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, and a harsh word stirs up anger. You will be exasperating your child when you are screaming at them, yelling at them. Or the thing that Mark had to work on me with was I kept talking to my oldest until I felt like she had the right attitude. And he's like, why are you still talking? You've said the same thing like 5 times. And I'm like talking my way around her, trying to get her to change her attitude. And it wasn't until she was 12. I remember it was like a watershed moment where as she was becoming a preteen, I was like digging in for, no, you, if I don't get her to obey now, she's gonna be a rebellious teenager. And I was digging in like this, and Mark's like, no, you're going the wrong way. You gotta pull backwards. Send her to her bed. Let her deal with her emotions. You can't change her heart. God has to change her heart. And so once I started pulling back and separating and going back later, when you go back later, your heart's soft. Their heart, most of the time, is soft, not always. But you know, what we expect, when we expect them to have a happy attitude, it causes a world of grief. So, you know, they are unregenerate. Almost all the kids in my house are still unregenerate. So we need to act like the ones who are controlled by the spirits and not become foolish like them, answering a fool according to their folly, etc. So.
Yeah, that's cool. I was just gonna say that that definitely happens in your house like every single day. Like number two.
That's a reality, right?
But yeah, and one verse that I like to think about also is from James, the anger of man doesn't achieve the righteousness of God. And what's my goal here, like in being angry? And a lot of times, like if I really thought about it, I'm not grieved in my heart, like, oh, my child's being foolish, they're disobeying the Lord, they're on the path of destruction. I'm thinking
they're disobeying me.
It's hard for me. Yeah. Like I'm trying so hard, why won't they obey me? So yeah, when you really like reflect on that, you don't really have any righteous anger in that.
Right.
So, yeah, that's
really
good.
Absolutely. Ephesians 4 as well. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. After a while, it becomes hard to forgive your child that 77 times a day. And so we need to practice the principles of love and what love really looks like. with our child and think about how God is patient with us and kind with us.
You're talking about three spanks on one issue, but you have a limit to how many spanks get it all day.
No.
Because there are times I feel like, okay, I just spanked him for three times. I feel like if I want to spank him more, I feel like, we can obey.
Yeah.
Recently, I spanked him three times, will not come over. Like a third time, you know, please come, please come.
And that's why stop spanking. Go over and walk him.
My husband
diffused.
Took him out of the car and then pulled him over. Then yeah. I gave him a blooper. And said, hey, mommy just want to give you a blooper.
Yeah. I was also, in 2 weeks or three, whatever, how the calendar works, we're going to talk about ways we exasperate our children, and you may find that you are spanking for things that you don't need to be. But between the ages of 1 and 4, your child will have the most spankings. Now, if you have what I call the passionate child, formerly known as the... I can't even remember because I always called the passionate child. What does Focus on the Family call it? Anybody? Strong-willed, thank you. The strong-willed child. I've been calling it passionate for so long. Passionate children are the ones whose sin is all over the place, everywhere, and you're like spanking them 8 times a day, and then you have the kids you haven't spanked them in 8 months because their sin just isn't out there. But when you catch them, definitely make sure you're on it because they need it. But usually by the age of 4, they'll kind of crest this hill, and you'll notice that if you've done your work up until age 4, that after 4, the maturity and their understanding of consequences, if I do this, this is what's going to happen, they really seem to start getting it. And most kids will start to get less spankings after the age of 4, except the passionate child, which even at the age of like 7 are still getting them every single day. Where your laid back, easy, compliant children haven't had spankings in years, you know, because you're able to deal with their issues in other ways. So just keep that in mind. It's a hard battle for age 1 to 4, for the most part, not always. All right, so we're gonna talk about ways we exasperate our children, which would be sin, because the Bible tells us, parents, fathers, do not exasperate your children. So we want to know what does that look like? And there are a lot of ways. So that's what we'll talk about next time. And then if any of this discussion brought up an issue you think we need to talk about again, or is a big can of worms, you know, we are willing to fluctuate what we're teaching. I mean, if we do have to talk about obedience and all the ins and outs of this for months, we will. So we need to meet you guys where you're at. All right. Lisa, do you mind closing in prayer for us?